out of the earth in the rapture. Then the Antichrist will come on the scene, and he will be the leader of Israel. And, of course, he, through his exploits, will settle the conflict in the Middle East for a temporary space of time. And this is when they're going to believe that he is their Messiah, and then eventually turn on them and then demand the whole world bow down and worship him. And we do understand that the Antichrist will be the devil manifest in flesh. He will be Satan himself. Just like Jesus was God manifest in flesh, the Antichrist will be the devil manifest in flesh. And since we're so close to the end, we have to conclude that the man that is going to be the Antichrist is alive and well somewhere in the earth. He probably doesn't even know himself that he will be the Antichrist. But according to your Bible, Satan will handpick someone and possess them. And through his efforts and exploits, will take over the world until the Lord comes and destroys him and sets up his own kingdom. Satan is a master imitator, isn't he? He tries to imitate everything that God does. And of course, Satan can do almost, well, we shouldn't say almost, he is a master imitator, and he tries to imitate everything God does. But Satan is one thing Satan cannot do. He cannot raise the dead. If he could raise the dead, he would be equal to God. And the Lord has already said that there's no one equal unto me. And so all he can do is imitate, and this is what he does. There is a true church and there's a false church. There is a holy Bible and there is the book of Satan. And he is a master imitator. But the Lord is going to destroy him and his kingdom and all of that. And that's not our subject tonight, but just to let you know that these things are on the horizon. But what we're looking for is the rapture to get out of here. Is that right? Amen. To get out of here, to prepare to meet our God. So tonight we're dealing with the flesh, the fallen nature, that part of us that God hates. And the scripture says that the flesh is vile. It is vile as vile can be. Our nature is vile because it is filled with sin. And we all did read on Wednesday night what God's attitude was toward the fallen nature. Our nature is as Satan is. And God hates this nature, and that's why it's important for one to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that is partaking of his divine nature, and we're supposed to live or be under the control of that divine nature. Now, the scripture says, I believe it's in the book of Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And that simply means to be under the control of the Spirit. To be under the control of the Spirit of God. And this is, and of course you have to have the Spirit of God in order for that to take place in your life. God does not want us to live by, or as we are influenced by, that which he hates, which is the fallen nature. And of course, as we dealt with that, talking about our five senses, our five senses that we have, feeling, tasting, touching, smelling, and seeing, and hearing, because we are creatures that are emotional creatures and we exist by our five senses, then we have to understand then that our five senses are influenced by our fallen nature, which is contaminated with sin. And so therefore we must keep those things under the control of the Spirit of God. A lot of times when we are wrapped up in our feelings, our feelings are contrary to God because they are part of our fallen nature. So therefore, then we have to allow our feelings to be influenced by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. I mean, does that make sense? You know, because too many of us that are in the church are influenced by the fallen nature. Our feelings are influenced by the fallen nature, and of course you'll wind up doing things according to your feelings rather than doing things according to the Word of God. And so this is the battle that we have. We have to fight ourselves. The battle is fighting our old selves that are influenced by the fallen nature. So let's go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 5 through 25. We have a few scriptures that are long scriptures that we have to deal with. Long scriptures. Praise the Lord. Can we say amen? Long scriptures. Romans chapter 7, verse number 5. Now, there are a lot of people that like to use this verse of scripture to prove that once saved, you're always saved. And they like to use this scripture that the Apostle Paul is speaking concerning how he was struggling living right. And that the more he tried to live right, the more he failed. And so there are Bible scholars that like to say and use this text to say that this is how it is as far as being saved, that you cannot live right being saved. And they say, therefore, then that being saved is not based upon how you live, because you can't live right. And so God is not basing your salvation on what you do and do not do, because they say that's works. Your salvation is based on grace. And they say that grace is unmerited favor, that we're saved by grace, that we had nothing to do with our salvation. It was God that chose us to be saved, because there are those that he chooses to be saved and there are those that he chooses to be lost. That is false doctrine. It is not true. It is a teaching from the devil. We're supposed to live like Jesus lived. Is that right? First Epistle of John chapter 5 says that as he was, so are we to walk in this world. And Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. And so they like to twist the scriptures and take the emphasis of living for God off of living holy, because they understand that that based upon their teachings, you can't live free from sin. But Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, therefore, being made free from sin, we are alive unto God. So you can live a life free from sin. You can live holy. You can live up to the expectations of God. Somebody says, well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It most certainly did say that. It said all have. And what tense is have? That's past tense. All have sinned. And then it says there's none good, no, not one. Well, yes, that's true, but that's why Jesus came. That was a condition that existed before he came. And he came to bring salvation because there was none good. No, not one. He came because all have sinned. But it doesn't say all are sinning, but all have sinned. And I dare say we all have sinned at some point or another, but we're not sinning now. Can we say amen? So they misconstrue these scriptures. They get them mixed up to support their theology or to support their teaching. But here in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul is not dealing with himself, talking about himself when he was saved. He's talking about himself before he got saved, when he thought he was saved. You see, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were very religious people. As a matter of fact, they prayed, I believe, 5 times a day. And so they were very religious, but in spite of him being very religious, he could not live up to the standards of the law of God. Now, here he was persecuting the church, killing Christians, hauling them into prison because they would not deny the name of Christ. And you may remember when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus in the 9th chapter of Acts, and there shined a light round about him brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And knocked him off his beast. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What that meant was that he was fighting conviction. And what was his convictions? Well, here he was persecuting the saints, killing them, consenting unto their death, hauling them into prison. They were willing to go to prison to die for the name of Jesus. And here he was, an individual that thought he was saved, and he couldn't even live the saved life that he thought that he had. Here they are dying, and they're supposed to be wrong because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He didn't believe that he was the Savior. He didn't believe that he was God. But here these folk are dying for him, and I can't even live properly before the God that I say is the true God. This is what he was battling with. Can we say amen? Now the flies are on, aren't they? I guess the fly wants to be on the stream. So we are in Romans 5, and I'm going to show you Romans chapter 7. I'm going to show you that he is talking about himself before he got saved. But Bible scholars will tell you he was talking about himself after he got saved. But no, let's let the scripture answer it for itself. Let's read verse number 5. All right, if we all have it, let's read together. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, now hold it, motions means the desires of sin. Now notice he says when we were in the motions of sins. And that term were is, what tense is that? Past, present, or future? That's past, isn't it? So he's talking about himself before he got saved. Like the blind man said, I once was blind, but what? Now I see. So he's not talking about this is not his condition at this present time. This is his condition before he got saved. Because at this time, he had been saved for some 20 plus years. This is his condition. He's speaking of himself before he got saved, when he thought he was saved at that time. All right? So, for when we were in the flesh, and of course he includes those he's writing to, for when we were in the flesh, the motions or the desires of sins, which were by the law, let's read, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, let me give it to you like this. He was a Jew and a Pharisee. Is that right? And they had the law. The law, which was contained in 10 commandments that Moses received from Mount Sinai, written with the finger of God. Is that right? And you should know that because you all seen the movie. Can we say amen? Praise the Lord. He also received 613 ordinances of divine worship. So there was, in addition to the 10 commandments, and a lot of folk can't even quote all the 10 commandments, there were 613 ordinances that they were supposed to live by. 365 of them said, thou shalt not. 248 said, thou shalt. So this is what the situation was. In addition to the 10 commandments, there was 365 things that they were not supposed to do, and 248 things that they were supposed to do. So if they failed in one of those 365 things that they did when they weren't supposed to do, they sinned. If they did what thou shalt not, they sinned. If they failed to do what thou shalt, they what? Sin. Now, I can hardly remember all the things I did yesterday, let alone 365 things I'm not supposed to do, or 248 things I'm supposed to do. Now, I have all those 613 ordinances in my office, in my notes, and I tell you, it is impossible to remember all those things. So somebody said, well, why did God give them that law like that? Why did he do that? To show us what he wanted, that's all. He knew they couldn't keep it, but he used them as an example and used the law as an example to show the New Testament church what he wanted. So this is the law he's talking about. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law. How was sin by the law? Well, sin was by the law simply because of the fact that the law identified what sin was. You see, where there's no law, there's no sin. But when there is a law, then there is sin. Because the law says, thou shalt not, and they could not keep it. So when he says, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. In other words, because there was a law, 365, 248, we couldn't keep them. So they worked in us death, because in violating the law, the penalty was death. All right? And that death has to do with being rejected by God. You follow? Now let's read verse 6. But now notice, what tense is that? That's present tense, right? So he's talking about himself presently. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The oldness of the letter had to do with the Old Testament laws. The newness of the spirit has to do with the New Testament. So understand then that he's saying we were delivered by the law. The law said that you had to be saved by works. What were those works? Obeying the 613 ordinances. And nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. So they were like in bondage because they could not keep all of the law. But now, since we have been born again of the water and spirit, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, when we walk in the spirit, we are fulfilling the law. All of God's laws, as long as we are living as we are influenced by the Spirit of God. All right. So, verse number 7, let's read. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now, there was nothing wrong with the law. The law was not sin. God forbid. Let's read. Nay, I had not known sin, but what? By the law. In other words, the law identified what sin was. For example, there was no law that said thou shalt not kill. But when the law came, thou shalt not kill, the law made killing a sin. So in other words, then he says, I had not known sin, but by the law. Let me give you another example. What's the speed limit on 3rd Street? Probably 25 miles an hour, right? Now, if there was no law against that, then, well, let me put it to you like this. How do you know that if you drive down 3rd Street doing 50-something miles an hour that you're breaking the law? How do you know that? Because the sign says, right? Because the law said. This is what he's saying. That's how he knew sin, because he knew what the law said and he couldn't keep it. All right. I had not known sin but by the law. Let's read on. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not what? Covet. He would not have known that lusting was wrong unless there was a law that identified to say that it was wrong. And this is what they were going through in the Old Testament, because they had all these laws, but they couldn't keep them. Let's read on, verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was what? Now let's explain that. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. What is that? Sin used the law that he could not keep to keep him in sin, because it was not in his nature to be obedient to the law. And so sin took advantage of that. How did it take advantage of him? by working concupiscence in him. Concupiscence is an uncontrollable desire to sin. And it was an uncontrollable desire to break the law. It's just like this. When you have a child and you tell the child, don't touch that, what does the child immediately want to do? Touch it, is that right? I remember when my granddaughter, I think she might have been 2 or 3, and my daughter-in-law said she told her to stop touching the TV because she liked to turn the TV on and off and on and off. And she said, keep your hands off the TV, and she would spank her. So she told me one time she grabbed a stick and went up to the TV and turned it on and off with the stick. I think she was 2 or 3 years old. That's what sin does. Whatever is a law to say you can't do that, it's in our nature. That's the thing that we what? Want to do. I remember when my father was cooking, I had a habit of always messing with his food. I looked in the pot one time, and there was a bunch of fish heads in the pot. I don't know what he was doing with fishing, but I had a knife, and I was trying to poke the eye out and got burned and still got that burn on my hand to this day. Because it is in our nature that whatever we are not supposed to do, that is the thing that our nature what? And this is what he's talking about. The law said this, but it worked in me an uncontrollable desire that I could not help myself. I still wanted to do contrary to what that law said, because the law said don't do it. All right? Verse number 9, let's read. I was alive without the law. Once, it was no problem with my desires because I could do whatever I want and there was no law against it. So I was like alive. Let's read. But when the commandment came, sin revived and what? I died. So when the commandment came, because I couldn't keep it, sin was aroused in me to violate that law and I couldn't keep it. And so as far as God was concerned, my condition was that I was dead because I was not obedient to him. Verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now the law was designed to give him life. But because he couldn't keep it, the law became what God didn't intend for it to become to him. It became what? Death. And the Bible can be the same way. God gave us the scriptures so that we can be saved. Is that right? But if I am living after my fallen nature, which by nature does not want to do anything that God says, the word of God, instead of being life to me, it can be death to me. How is it death? Because it says the wages of sin is what? Death. If I violate the word of God, that which is designed to save me will condemn me in the end. Why is it that way? Because of the nature that I have. All right? See, this nature is vile. And you can read, in Philippians 3:21, it talks about the nature is vile. The word vile means offensive and thoroughly disgusting in the sight of God. Repulsive, filthy. So if I am under the influence of the fallen nature, feeling as I am influenced under the fallen nature when it comes to the things of God, talking as I am influenced by the fallen nature, I am at that time living by something that God is saying is repulsive to him. Because if I am trying to serve God as I am influenced by that which is repulsive to him, will he accept that? No. And you got people that get up and sing in the flesh. Singing because they want to be seen. Ain't got nothing to do about glorifying God. They want to be what? Or singing as they have a record contract. You know, a lot of the songs that we sang in church are songs that are written by folk that are gay, folk that are not saved. You remember that song, Jesus Can Work It Out? That problem that I had, just couldn't seem to solve. I know you couldn't solve it because you couldn't live right. Woman was a homo, girl's a lesbian. A lot of these songs, you think God is pleased with that? That I come to him singing, preaching, teaching, as I am influenced by the fallen nature, that which is repulsive and disgusting to him. We got to live in the spirit, y'all. Can we say amen? And everything we do, we got to do as we are influenced by the Holy Spirit and not by some other spirits. See, when preachers get up there and try to get your money, is that the Holy Ghost? Bring your first check of the year. That's because it's the biggest check. You got Christmas Eve, Christmas. Can we say amen? New Year's Eve, New Year's. I love when I got that first check. I'd work some overtime and take all my withholdings down to zero. I didn't want no taxes taken out of that first check. Got away with it for 25 years. Maybe I'm paying for it now. Praise the Lord. And God says, bring your first check of the year, your tithing. God ain't said that. I don't believe you should give all your money to the church. I never believe that. I can't give all my money to the church. Because Sister Rhoda will say, where's mine? Can we say amen? God never told anybody to give all their money to the church. So if the preacher is up there talking about God said that if you give this much, he's going to do that for you. God never said that. All he said was that you're supposed to pay tithes, which is 10%, right? And give offering, and your offering is as you decide to give. And then there are special offerings that the scripture says that you give. But God ain't going to tell the preacher to tell you $1,000 that he's going to do this by tomorrow. I would say, preacher, I'll wait till tomorrow to see if the Lord going to do it. Then I will think about it. Can we say amen? No, God don't operate like that. You know what that is? That's the flesh. Preachers get up there and preach about you. Don't say nothing about Jesus. It's all about you, your season, your time, your blessings. You. You know what that is? That's the flesh. Because they are telling you things that they know you want to hear and get you all pumped up so that when offering time comes, y'all hear what I'm saying? I'll tell you what goes on. You know, we don't do that here. We don't play games here. Is that right? Trying to go to heaven. Can you say amen? I didn't come all the way down from Michigan. Now, I'm glad I'm here. Now, don't make no... Yeah. Getting 200 inches of snow up there. I'm glad I'm here. But I'm not here to play games. We're going to heaven. We ain't trying. We going. Are y'all going? I know I'm going. You know. So I'm doing a little too much talking because we got some more scriptures to get through. So Paul was struggling with his life before he got saved when he thought he was saved because he could not live up to the standards of God. But here these folk are dying for the name Jesus and he can't even live for Jehovah. That's what he was battling with. Verse number 12, let's read. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just in what? Good. There's nothing wrong with the law. Let's read verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. What was death unto him? But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what? Exceedingly sinful. So it was sin that was working against him. It was his nature that was working against him because the nature would not submit itself to what God expected. and the nature still does not. That's why you have to have the Holy Ghost, because you have to make this nature do right. Can we say amen? Because this nature in and of itself is not going to do right, and it is our enemy. You are your worst enemy. I am my worst enemy. What is that? My nature. It's natural for me to sin. It's natural for me to lie. It's natural for me to lust. It's natural for me to cuss. But now that I'm in the church, I have the name, I have the word, I have the spirit, and God expects me to do that which is unnatural and make that which is unnatural natural, and make that which is natural unnatural. So that means I gotta watch my feelings. I don't feel like going to church tonight after you ran around Walmart all day. Can you say amen? You gotta tell that, now that's the old me now. I can't let that. Let me, as for me and my house, we shall serve what? The Lord. I'm getting up going to church. I don't like what she said. I'm gonna give her a piece of my mind. That's the old flesh. Can we say amen? I can't give out a piece of my mind because I won't have none after a while because I give out too many pieces. You're getting on my last nerves. You ain't gonna have no more after that. That's what? The flesh. Can we say amen? I can't take it anymore. That is what? But the Spirit says I can do all things through Christ. And what? So we are saved to do the opposite. You know. All right. Let's read verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under what? That was his condition before he got saved. And I want you to know that we still have our fallen nature. You know that. Can we say amen? We still have our carnal mind. The carnal mind is the mind that is influenced by the fallen nature. But now that we are saved, we have to keep those things under control. All right? Before we were saved, we were sold under sin. What do sinners do? They sin, is that right? All have sinned and come short to the glory of who? But thank God for Jesus. I don't have to sin no more. I got power. You shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost is what? And we ain't talking about power to shout, because you was shouting before then. You was out there doing all those dances. And don't be bringing them dances into the church now. The last dance I was doing when I was in the world was called the freak. Y'all remember that? And thank God. And thank God when the freak went out, I got saved. Because folk was getting shot over the freak. They still doing them dances today. Did you know that? Ain't nothing new under the sun. Lord have mercy. No, we don't do those today. But you see some of these folk doing some of these moves. They were moves out in the world. Do you think God is in that? The jerk and the car, the snake, whatever they call it, the automobile, the robot. You imagine somebody shouting in church doing a robot? You know what I say to that? It does not compute. Remember that? Lost in space? It does not compute. So a lot of stuff, and you see folk, they start in the back, and they manage to make their way down to the front, don't they? I saw somebody shouting one time, and they looked up, see if the camera was on, and then it got to going. The flesh. Can we say amen? All right, well, let's read on here. Verse number 15. He's bringing all this to a summary now. Let's read. But that which I do, I allow, not. The things that I'm supposed to do, I don't allow it to happen. Let's read. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do what? Now, I've counseled a lot of gay people in my 40 years in the ministry. And all of those that were in that lifestyle did not want to be that way. And I remember I counseled one young man that was as young as 13 years of age that was meeting men in his house while his mother went to work. She was a minister, preaching in church, had no idea. Did not want to be that way. He was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And we counseled them, and of course, they eventually left the church. And last we seen of him, he has sent a picture to someone with a dress up like a woman in New York. Most of these individuals that I have talked to, I'm not saying all of them like that, but most of them I have talked to don't want to be that way. What's the problem? They have sold themselves unto what? Sin. But they don't have to live that way because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? Now the world is trying to get us to accept that behavior. And churches talk about the black church. There ain't no black church. God's church is not a black church. The church is made up of people of all races, kindred, tongues, and people. Three times it's mentioned in the book of Revelation concerning God's church. There's no such thing as the black. If you want to talk about the black church, you ain't talking about the true church. You're talking about something else. Can we say amen? They say when those gospel music workshops of America, y'all seen those? Gospel music workshop, James Cleveland, they said they had to put the police to guard the restrooms because of the activities that was going on at the so-called gospel music workshop of America. And I say on TV, the black church's acceptance of the LGBTQ. Well, the black church might be accepting it, but this church ain't accepting it because this ain't no black church. God's church is a universal church. Greater Bethel is just one of the assemblies. Can we say amen? So, this is what he was dealing with before he got saved. And preachers will teach from this text and says that's the condition that he was in after he got saved. And this is the condition of everybody that gets saved. And that's why God is not dealing with us according to works, because they say trying to obey the Bible is works. And it's a lie from the pit. All right, but this was his condition. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is what? Good. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. So if I'm doing something that I say is good when it's contrary to the law, what is that? That's sin in me, because sin is deceitful. Sin will make you think that doing wrong is right. Can we say amen? Why does the alcoholic go out and spend all his money and can't pay his bills? Or the drug addict spend all their money on drugs and can't pay their bills? They know it's wrong, but they're sold under what? Sin. All right? And we that are saved are not to allow that nature to influence us, because if we're not careful, we'll be doing some of the same things that we did before we got saved. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? When you get saved, you are not the same as you were before. If you are, you didn't really get saved. You might have just got converted. Conversion and salvation is two different things. And a lot of individuals out there in the world of Christendom that have not been baptized in Jesus' name, have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, they think they're saved, but they're not saved, they're converted. What's the difference? Conversion means that you heard the word, you were convicted, and you set out to change your life in accordance to the word of God. That's conversion. You have converted over to the things of God. The problem is you don't have no power to live the life. See, everybody that gets saved was converted, but everybody that's converted is not saved. All right? So let's read verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh or nature, dwelleth what? There is nothing good about my nature as far as God is concerned. It's vile. It's disgusting. It's offensive to him in every way. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I remember when I was a younger man, before I got saved, my mother used to talk about me to her friends and said I had a good heart. And I used to sit there and say, oh, she just don't know. Because I was always trying to think of how I can steal from somebody. You know what that was? That was the what? The nature. Can we say amen? Now he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And he's going to explain it. For, which means because, let's read. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I what? When he says for to will, that means I have the ability to choose, but I just don't choose the right thing. I'm always choosing the wrong thing. Why? Because he is influenced by the fallen nature. All right. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I don't do that, but the evil which I would not, I rather not do the evil, but I find myself doing it. I want to do the good, but I can't seem to get that done. All right, verse 20. Now, if I do that that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. That is, it's his nature that is doing that. If we as saints of God live after the fallen nature, we will be offensive in the sight of God. And God did not save us to be offensive to him. God saved us to give him glory. You know how some of these folk like to get on there? Remember Kirk Franklin got on there and talked about his addiction to pornography? You remember that? And he got on there and talked about that most of his music he was influenced by was influenced by worldly music. Some of y'all looking at me strange like, I ain't never saw that. He got on there and said that in a sense of trying to be transparent because he felt it might help somebody else with the same problem. And somebody said he was giving God the glory because he was confessing his problem. Jesus said, never said, he said, let your light so shine, not your darkness. God don't get any glory by me talking about how bad I'm struggling living holy. Is that right? I just can't help myself. I just lust after all of the sisters in the church. But, the Lord is helping me. How can God get any glory out of that? Can you say amen? See, I tell you, Satan turns everything around to the opposite. And it's unfortunate that many church folk that look up to these individuals adopt their positions as to what a saint is supposed to be. Don't follow them. Follow your pastor. Can we say amen? Because just because these folk have gifts and abilities, let me tell you something. The least spiritual folk in the church are those that are highly gifted in the church. We have an example, the Corinthian church. Did you know a whole church can be carnal? A whole church can be in sin? A whole church could be guilty in the sight of God? That's what the Corinthian church was. Paul said, you come behind in no gift. In other words, any gift that there was operating in the church. And that was his church. But he says, you're carnal. You're carnal. So just because a person is gifted, their gift is not a sign that they're in good standing with God. Their gift means that they're just talented. You can go to hell gifted singing. Is that right? There's going to be a whole lot of folks singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and they're going to be in a lake of fire. Then they're going to be down there singing, "Oh, I wish I loved Jesus." Because he said, "If you love me, keep what? My commandments." All right, well, let's read on. Spend a lot of time with this verse. Where are we? Verse 21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is what? Always present." Verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God after what? Inward man." Verse 23. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my what?" Now, when he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," his soul wanted to be right. But because he had no power to live right, because he had no power over his flesh, it was his soul that was crying out for God. And the Lord knew that, and that's why he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." So our soul wants to be saved. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Is that right? Because the flesh knows it's not going to hell. This flesh ain't going to hell. The flesh is going right back to where it came from dust thou art unto what? So why am I going to allow something that ain't going to be punished cause me to be punished for eternity for listening to it? Because of how it makes me feel, or because of how I see or hear, so on and so forth. I ain't letting my flesh send me to hell. This flesh going to go back to the dust. My soul is going to be with Jesus. And in order to get that done, I got to keep Raider Johnson / Floyd Johnson under the control of the Holy Ghost. And you have to do the same thing too. Can we say amen? Verse number 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am." How is he a wretched man? To try to do the things of God as you are influenced by the flesh is nothing more than wretchedness. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the what? Law of sin." So the Lord saved him, delivered him. Can we say amen? Now this ties us into the 8th chapter. And we have to deal with chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Hopefully we'll get done with this. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let's read. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in..." Now, preacher, stop there. I can't tell you how many preachers I've heard say there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you sin, because God's not looking at your sins. He's looking at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's therefore now no condemnation. You're not condemned because you are in Christ Jesus. But he didn't stop there, did he? There's a comma there, isn't it? Let's read on. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after what?" As when you walk after the Spirit, or you live your life as you are influenced by the Spirit of God, you will not be condemned in the sight of God, because your feelings and everything about you is as you are influenced by the Holy Ghost. And that's living holy. He says, "There's therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk." That word "walk" means to live, behave, and exist not after the flesh. The word "after" means to follow behind as the flesh leads you. You are not living as you are following the flesh, but living after you are following the what? Spirit. Because he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall do what? Guide you. It's like the Holy Ghost taking you by the hand and walking you through this life. That's how it's supposed to be. And if it is that, every morning you wake up, it will be on the right side of the bed. What's the matter with you? I'm mad. Why are you mad? I don't know. I know why. You in the what? Or as we used to say, you fleshing. You fleshing. Get in the Spirit. I'm mad. Get in the Spirit. I don't want to get in the Spirit. That's the what? Flesh. All right. Because if I'm in the flesh long enough, I'm going to do something I ain't supposed to do. I'm going to say something I ain't supposed to say. I'm going to get my ear to something I shouldn't be getting my ear to. See, Richard Pryor, Dave Chappelle, and Chris Rock are some funny guys, aren't they? But I can't listen to them. If I'm sitting up there listening to Richard Pryor, that's the what? Y'all don't want to say it? Dave Chappelle, that's the what? You have to be, I'm talking about me now. See, them guys are funny. But ain't nothing, God ain't laughing, is he? You think God up there busting the gut, as they say? No, them guys are laughing about sin, and sin, people are dying in their sins every day. We have to be careful about what we allow our ears to what? Hear. Can we say amen? Well, y'all don't get quiet on me. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, because listening to that stuff, you're in the flesh, and eventually something is going to go wrong somewhere. Am I making any sense? All right, so I don't want to be condemned in the sight of God. I don't want to be living this life and under condemnation to God that when the rapture takes place, I can't go because I'm living in the flesh or I am operating based on my fallen nature. And it's a struggle. It's a battle, saints. Somebody said you can't walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to try. What's wrong with trying? Is that right? Now, I'm not saying you can't get mad. Sometimes we get mad, right? But watch what you say when you get mad. That's the thing. Don't harbor anger, because the Bible says anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Because if you stay angry long enough, you're going to say something wrong. So you're mad at your spouse for something because they didn't do or something, whatever. And you're sitting there mad. And then all of a sudden, my mama told me you wasn't no good. What? Remember that last boyfriend I had? He didn't treat me like this. That's the what? Or I ought to knock you out. You might as well come on and knock on the door so we can pray for you. You see what we're saying? We are in the flesh too much. Oh, you look like you didn't even want to talk to me. Oh, I'm sorry, let me put my bifocals on. You didn't even see them. The flesh. Can you say amen? Am I making any sense? Oh, he's only saying, he talking about you, brother. Does he remember the other day? No. All right. Walking in the Spirit. See, when you walk in the Spirit, when you're under the control of the Holy Ghost, that's when no weapon formed against you can prosper. That's when you are more than a conqueror, because you are invincible, because the Spirit of God is leading you and guiding you. Verse number 2, let's read. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of what? The law of sin and death is simply that I cannot live holy by myself, live it in the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of what? Sin and death, because sin brings death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, because the Old Testament laws was not helping them to be saved and helping them to be able to give God what kind of life that he wanted. This is what God did. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin did what? He became sin for us. He took our place on the cross, even though he had never sinned. And why did he do that? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but what? So all of those laws that they could not keep in the Old Testament and these laws we have in the New Testament, when you walk in the Spirit, you are fulfilling all of God's laws at the same time. How is that? Because you're not going to do, say, hear, see anything, but as the Spirit of God influences you to say, hear, and do anything. Does that make sense? The righteousness of the law. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, that is those that are influenced by the fallen nature, do mind the things of what? The flesh. And that's true. Those that are under the influence of the fallen nature do the things that the fallen nature influences them to do. That's why they do the drugs. That's why they do the cigarettes. That's why they lie. That's why they lust. That's why they party. That's why they get drunk. Because they are after the flesh and they do the things of what? Of the flesh. They do what the flesh dictates for them to do. All right? I was going to tell you a story about my brother. He called me and some of the things he say. Now, I don't really get on my brother a lot about things that he does because he's not saved. But when he start talking about he's saved, oh, I get all on his case. You know. Because I'm like, look, you was raised in the Apostolic Church just like me. You know, the things that you are doing. Well, I talked to God, and I said, no. You are a filthy sinner, but I love you. You need the Holy Ghost, because he got baptized in Jesus' name 50 years ago. Never got the Holy Ghost. Well, he says here, but they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh, let's read. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of what? What are some of the things of the Spirit? Praying, reading the Word, faithful to church, paying tithes, giving offering, loving your brother and sister, obeying God's commandments. We do those things because we are after the what? Spirit. We do those things as we're influenced by the Holy Ghost, our salvation. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is what? That is, if I'm going to allow my carnal, unsaved mind, as it is influenced by the fallen nature, if I'm going to live that way, eventually I'm going to die in my sins and have to stand before God and go to the lake of fire. Let's read. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. If I'm living holy, walking with God, I got eternal life and I'm at peace. Peace. Can you say amen? Have you ever experienced all kind of turmoil in your life? Things, all kinds of crazy things going around you, but in your mind, you got peace? You know, Sister Perry was diagnosed with that cancer. The first thing you think of when you get cancer is death. And she might have got rattled a little bit here and there, but she kept coming to church, and after a while, she got some what? You don't know what she got? $1 million? I know she ain't getting $1 million because she would have paid her tithes. Peace. Sister Henderson, peace. A lot of y'all, what? Peace. Husband ain't acting right, walked up and left you, but you got close to God and you got what? Peace. Praise the Lord. Peace. That's because that's the Spirit. Thou will keep him in perfect peace if he keeps his mind what? If your problems and your struggles is causing you to be stressed out, just take a moment and put your mind on Jesus. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. It works. Can we say amen? Let's read on here. Where are we? Verse 7, let's read. Because, carnal mind, it's God's enemy, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed what? So we got to make sure that we keep this flesh under control. All right, let's read on. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? I have to keep my flesh under control, because while I'm up here preaching, if I'm preaching in the flesh, God's not going to be pleased. If I'm singing in the flesh, God's not going to be pleased. If I'm playing musical instruments in the flesh, God is not going to be pleased. Can we say amen? You cannot please God in anything by doing it as you are influenced by the flesh. Next verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's what? You have to have the Holy Ghost to be one of his. Is that right? All right, let's read. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? That fallen nature is dead in you as long as that Spirit of God is dominant in you. You have to keep that old man dead. Is that right? The analogy is that when you got baptized, the old man stayed in the water. And that old man is constantly trying to come back. Sometimes he tries to come back with memories. Old memories. Remembering yourself when you was out there in the burlesque. Sometimes it's not good to remember. I've talked to preachers that like to go back into, one preacher one time talked about how he used to buy women and have them transported from state to state. I said, man, why do you want to talk about that? Doc, I had it going on. I said, you're going to hell and you're still going if you don't get your mind off that. He was our assistant pastor, by the way. Praise the Lord. Set him straight. Some people like to go back. You know, that song, Take Me Back. He ain't talking about that kind of Take Me Back. Am I making any sense? So sometimes not good to be going all back into the past. You better look to Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. Praise the Lord. I remember the first time I saw Brother Downs in that mink coat. He said, oh, I had this way back. Now, ain't nothing wrong wearing it, as long as it's still nice. But he ain't living in the past. Can we say amen? All right. I hope y'all getting this. I'm trying to explain the best way I can. Where are we now? Lord, hammer, I keep getting lost. Verse 11. Let's read. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what Spirit was that? Spirit of God, is that right? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that what? And that's why you have to have the Holy Ghost, because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is that same Spirit that is going to, at the rapture time, catapult us up to meet the Lord where? In the air. So you got to have some Holy Ghost power. You got to get the Holy Ghost. One brother said they had a dream that the rapture took place and they could just barely get up off the ground. They just couldn't. I said, did you see me? He said, yeah, I saw you. He said, where? I said, where was I? Oh, you was up there. I said, now you're talking. That's all I cared about. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live what? You don't owe the flesh anything. Is that right? Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, what? Mortify. What does that mean? Kill it. Kill those desires. What? Mortify. How do I mortify? Jesus says, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? You got to tell the flesh, no. No, you are not doing that. No, you are not thinking that. No, you are not saying that. In the name of Jesus, get back, flesh. Plead the blood of Jesus against your flesh. You want to plead the blood against everybody, the devil, the neighbor, those that made you mad. Sometimes you got to plead the blood against yourself. Am I making any sense? Well, I never read that in the Bible. Mortify. Can we say amen? Mortify. Beat that flesh up. Tell that flesh, you ain't going to do that. I know my husband didn't give me no money this month. I ain't throwing no hot grease on him. I want to confess to the pastor. The devil say, well, get some grits and throw it on him. I ain't doing that either. I'm going to put this flesh down. Just go tell the Lord. Say, Lord, make him give me some money. Don't throw hot grits on him. Can we say amen? Tell the Lord about it. Lord, they ain't treating me right. Don't cuss him out. Tell Jesus about it. Tell Jesus all about your what? Sure, we want to tell folk about it. Let me tell you what I've been going through. All right, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Now, are you a son of God? Then let the Spirit do what? Lead you. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? We are his children by adoption. Can we say amen? Now, we don't have time to read this scripture. Let me see here. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, and this is going to be our last scripture for tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The world, the flesh, isn't that something? I can teach on the flesh for the rest of this year. Make you say, all right, all right. But we have got to be in the spirit, y'all, because we in the flesh too much. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2. All right. Let's read. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Now, did not Jesus suffer for us in his flesh? Did not he suffer in that body that he had? Who did he do it for? He done it for us. Like Donnie McClurkin said that song, just for me. Just for me. He did it for what? All right. What did he say now? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What kind of mind is that? To suffer in the flesh. Is that right? Now, how are we going to suffer in the flesh? Do we have to go to the cross and be nailed to the cross and beat all night long and all that? No. He's not talking about that kind of suffering. Let's read on. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath what? Ceased from sin. What is he talking about? Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust or desires of men, but to the will of what? So in other words, since Jesus suffered for us in the flesh, then we need to suffer for him in our flesh. And how do we do that? By making up our minds that we are not going to sin. Because the Bible says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for which means because he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now let's take it backwards so that you can understand it better. If I decide I'm going to live for God and not sin, my flesh is going to suffer. Because my flesh don't want to do right. My flesh wants to do wrong. But if I decide I'm going to live everything that the Bible says with all that I know, my flesh is going to suffer because my flesh is going to want to do contrary to that, and I'm going to have to tell it, no, you're not. You find me somebody living holy, and I'll show you somebody that their flesh is suffering. What part of that flesh, that fallen nature, is not having its way? But if I allow the old man to have his way, or in some of your cases, the old woman have his way, and I'm not talking about your wife, the flesh is going to suffer. So since he suffered for me, then I'm going to make my flesh suffer because of him. So when my flesh is tired, your flesh tells you you tired when you first wake up in the morning. Ain't no need you going to church tonight because you didn't really get a good night's sleep while you're getting dressed for work. Can we say amen? And plan on going to Sister So-and-so's house for barbecue before Bible class. And you the whole time, oh, I'm so tired. I don't think I'm going to make it tonight to church. It ain't because of them baked beans that you ate all them baked beans or those ribs. That's your what? Tell the flesh, get up with your unsaved self. You going to church. I know you don't want to go, but you're going anyway. And you're going to sit on the front row and you're going to read the scriptures loud. The only ones we got in the front row is the deacons, aren't we? All right, God bless you tonight. God bless you. Are there any questions? You don't have to sit on the front row. Maybe y'all scared tonight. Y'all sitting around. They are way over there, aren't they? No, they're not scared. Five questions. All right, we're going to try to answer these. God bless you. The word instructs us to honor our parents, and a wife should obey, respect her own husband, and the husband's supposed to do that too. Is it the position or the person who we show respect to? What if the person is dishonorable, such as a drug-addicted parent? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Well, you show them the respect as your parent for being your parent. You don't respect the bad activity that they're involved in. And now I was in that position because my father was not a very... he was a terrible father, and when he would criticize me for being saved, and I would challenge him, he said, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, and I would tell him, you don't deserve any honor. There are some parents that don't deserve honor because they have been dishonorable, but I did try to give him the respect from him being my father, and not go upside his head because he's my father after watching him abuse my mother and abuse my sisters. So you honor them for the fact that they are your parents. But as far as the lifestyle that they've lived, you know, you don't disrespect them. Can we say amen? They're your mother and your father, you don't disrespect them. And disrespecting them doesn't mean you not tell them the truth. You know, you tell them the truth, whether it is a husband or a wife. Now, if you're married to a husband that's not saved, you show him some respect as your husband, but you do not allow him to compromise your walk with God. when he or she, and if they try to compromise your walk with God, the Bible says we rather obey God rather than who? Man. You ain't going to church tonight. You're going to stay home. I'm going to church. I don't stop you from going to the club. You say amen? You know, so you be an obedient wife. You obey the scriptures when it comes to your husband. But if your husband tell you you ain't going to church no more, you don't do that. You say amen? I've known of women to do that, backslide because their husband said backslide. Okay. No, you don't do that. You perform your wifely duties, your husband duties, your duties as a child to your parents, but you do not let them compromise your walk with God. You take a stand for that. Can you say amen? All right. If we know that once saved, always saved is a fallacy, wouldn't God turn one over to a reprobate mind? Some have become a reprobate, but you have to understand the word reprobate is in different phases in the scripture. Judas had a reprobate mind, and it caused him to be destroyed. But being reprobate, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know not yourselves unless you be reprobates. Reprobate means to be unapproved in the sight of God or rejected by God. So these individuals that are teaching this teachings is causing people to be rejected by God because they think that they don't have to live holy. And so they're going to pay for that. And so it's our job, ministers like myself, to get up and teach the truth so that people can know. But you don't have very many people doing what I'm doing. I call the folk out. I call out what they're teaching. And some ministers might do it another way, but this is the only way I know how to do it. You know, so yes, false doctrine is very destructive. Look what happened to Jim Jones and those people, 918 people that committed suicide down there in Guyana. It can cause destruction, you know. And so that's why we try to teach as much truth as we can. And some things we teach, I already know y'all know. It's not necessarily, well, I shouldn't say it's not for you all, but it is. But it's also for those that are watching us from all over, because we have a pretty large audience of people that watch us. All right. So I hope that answered that question. Is it enough to be in the spirit as much as possible? Can we be in the spirit while watching TV or doing other things of the world? Well, it depends on what you're doing in the world. Now, of course, they say it's impossible to be in the spirit 24 hours a day. But if you are watching television for entertainment purposes, that's the flesh. There are some things we have to do for the flesh. All right. But the things that we're talking about tonight is that you do not allow the flesh to compromise your walk with God. That's what we're doing, because there are some things that you can watch on television that is inappropriate. You don't do that. All right. So we're not saying you can't watch TV. You can't listen to the radio. You can't attend a sports venue or anything like that. There are things that are the flesh that we can do, but we're talking about living before God and allowing the flesh to dictate how you live for God. That's what we're talking about. Everybody understand that? All right. God asks for 10% of our income, but does he also desire 10% of our time and whatever we do personally? There is no scripture in the Bible concerning paying tithes off of your activities. But I do believe that we should give God some of our time. If there's 24 hours a day, are you talking about only giving God 2 hours and 40 minutes of your day? You know, there's no scripture to support that you tithe off of your time, but you do give God some time. If he means anything to you, you will give him some time. Can we say amen? When you were courting that young lady or that young man, you gave them some what? Time. The phone rang. Hello? I was waiting on your call. Can you say amen? Or a relative that you love, you take out time with them, nieces and nephew, you love them, you take out time with them. Your parents, you take out time with them. Take out time with Jesus also. And that's what you're doing tonight. You're taking out time with the Lord by being in church. All right, any more? If one is dealing with depression, does it mean that they are not in the spirit? Can the spirit help depression? Yes, the spirit can help depression. Now, because we are born in sin, we are born with some defects, all right? And depression, some forms of depression can come because the chemical imbalances in their body. These things happen because when we're born, naturally there are defects, and God is able to help with depression. As we quoted in the scripture, thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace. God is able to still give you peace and deliverance, even though that you have a chemical imbalance going on in your brain or whatever they say. He is able, and you lean on him. There are some of us that are battling physical defects, having a diagnosis, being depressed because of chemical imbalance. It's nothing different than arthritis in your body. There's nothing wrong with having a disease. Nothing different from that. All of these things are byproducts of death. Because there's death, we have all these things. You just have to look to the Lord to help you. Now, does that mean I don't take my medication? If the medication helps, take it. Because when you have arthritis pain, you take that, right? You know, sometimes chicken makes me feel good, and as you can see, I'm feeling too good too often. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So just because you might be diagnosed with something, you mean just as much to God, and God can be just as mighty in you as anybody that is a picture of health. Like Brother Toomer running up and down like he's 50. Somebody asked me, how old is Brother Toomer? I said, 52. He's blessed. Is that it? Have any more? All right. God bless you. Thank you tonight for your attention. Amen. God bless you, and we appreciate everyone coming tonight, and let us invite someone to church on this Sunday. Let us come out and have a high time in the Lord. Amen, amen. So at this time, we're going to take our offering tonight and prepare to be dismissed. Again, I want to thank you for all of the cards, flowers, and gifts.